I've been coaching and helping people transform their businesses and their lives now for many years. And it never ceases to amaze me when I'm running a coaching session and I say things or I draw things and I go, where did that come from? Well, in late January, early February, I was coaching an individual and we were talking about their personal motivation and they were saying how they were stuck and they just couldn't move forward. And in fact, what I did, I created a matrix. So it's a four quadrant matrix with two axes, and the one axis really is your drive, your motivation, the intention, the power that you use to motivate you and push you forward. And the other axis down the bottom is the obstacles that you're going to be confronted with. Because just because you're motivated and you have drive and you want to move forward and you want to go ahead and you want to achieve, well, you still got the 3D reality to deal with. And there are always obstacles in front of you. And it's often these obstacles that cave in on us. And so, because we don't have the vision, or maybe our vision just isn't compelling enough, and then maybe we don't even have the right strategies to implement our vision. And because we don't have the strategies or the resources or what have you, we cave and then we go back to being stuck again. Now, what was interesting though, I hadn't thought about this matrix in a while since, in fact, straight after that coaching session, I actually drew up the matrix and I put a post on LinkedIn. And the post was, look, 2023 is just in its infancy. Where on the personal motivation matrix do you sit right now? And if you don't like where you're at, then reach out to change it. All right, well, in fact, I had a number of people that actually really appreciated that matrix and liked what they saw. And this was, way back beginning of the year. Well, I recently had somebody resend it to me because clearly they had found it somehow and they had liked it. And it showed up in my email that someone had liked a post that I created all way back then. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, this is a really powerful matrix. And so I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to actually do a real quick session on this matrix. So here we go, right? Like I said, there's two axes. The first one is the one going up is your drive, and the one going down the bottom is the obstacles that you're facing. So in the very first quadrant, so this is the quadrant closest to where the obstacles and drive meet, you have where you're stuck. And what happens is when you get stuck, you get into what's called an endless thought loop. So why can't I do this? Why is it not happening to me? And you ask all these endless loop questions that really you just don't have the answers for. And by the way, why is one of those questions? Because it just goes round and round and round and round and round and round in circles, and you're never able to actually get out. Why does this always happen to me? Why can't I get out of this rut that I'm in? Why am I in this relationship that I'm in? Why is my health as crappy as it is? Why, why does my bank account look like it is? And we get into this stuck thought loop cycle. Now, what happens is we then say, okay, great. Now I'm going to motivate myself. I'm going to get myself out there. That's it. I'm tired of this. I'm going to do it. You hear something, you listen to something, you speak to somebody, you go to a seminar, whatever. Something triggers you and you say, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of this place, right? And you start to go, go, go. And you use your willpower and you push and you shove and off you go. Right, and you're now going up the drive side of the matrix. and you move into what we call burnout and depletion. So when you're pushing, there's only so much pushing that one can do before you start to get tired.
And instead of push energy, we call this willpower. But we know from science that willpower is a limited resource. It will run out. How do we know this? How many New Year's resolutions have we kept? Because we run out of willpower. And if we just keep pushing, that very soon affects our body, our adrenals burn out, etc., etc.
When you think about taking action, there's a lot of push energy that goes into taking action. Now, push energy really is for getting things started. So let me track back here for a minute. When I grew up, I was in boarding school, and we had to. I was in the house where the cricket captain was boarding, and as a result, as a new kid, you know, they used to call us new boys. As a new kid, we had to make sure that the cricket pitch that the guys were playing on, the first team was playing on, was rolled. So on a Saturday morning, we had to get up really early in the morning. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. Everyone else was sleeping Saturday morning. And we had to get out onto this cricket pitch, and we had this huge, big roller. Well, I remember it being huge and big, right? And there were about half a dozen of us. And we had to get this roller to move along the pitch. And it was like, you just couldn't suddenly just have it roll. You had to push, and it was heave, and then it would go a little bit forward, and it would roll back, and then it would go a little bit forward, and it would roll back until it gained enough momentum that it would start to roll on its own. And that's really what push energy is for, and that's what push energy is about. It's to get things started, to get things going. But when you're continually just using push energy, when all you're doing is staying in that place of push, and I've got to get this, and I've got to achieve this, and I've got to meet this deadline, and I've got to chase this, and I've got to chase that. Well, when you do that, and you stay in that push energy, eventually you reach burnout, and it fits all too hard. And that's when we just go into collapse mode, and that's when we fall back into the stuck mode. And back into the endless loop questions of why me? Why has this always happened to me? Now, the other thing that happens is because while we're pushing, obstacles are coming our way, right? So the universe is such that just because we want it doesn't mean to say it's always going to be plain sailing. You know, we look at other people and we think, oh, you know, their lives are just so easy. We don't see the obstacles that they maybe have had to traverse in order to get where they've gotten, right? So there's always an obstacle. It's not just there's always detours on the road to where it is we want to go. That's just the way the 3D world operates. Now, here's the problem. Our problem is that, and I just heard this wonderful analogy today, that if we're using a flawed strategy. So the analogy that the fellow used was, if you are trying to knock a nail into a piece of wood with a fish, well, that's a pretty flawed strategy, right? And often as much as we hit these obstacles and we can only see what we can see. We can't see our blind spots. We can't see outside of the obstacles. It's a bit like I always say, you know, sometimes you're in a box and it's very hard to see the label outside the box when you're actually in the box. And so we're in the box and we find ourselves stymied by these obstacles. Which way do I turn? Do I turn left? I turn left, I run into a wall. I turn right, I run into another wall. I go up and I can't reach the top, so I slide back down again. And so we try and use whatever strategies we can, but at the end of the day, sometimes we just don't have the right strategy. We need maybe to talk to somebody just to flip us out of our current thinking so we can look at things differently. But what happens then is here we are, we're in push mode, we're hitting all these obstacles, and eventually we just feel overwhelmed. It's just like, oh my God, this is just so tough. Wherever I look, there's another obstacle. There's another obstacle. There's another obstacle. And so what do? We then fall back into the first quadrant again, which is being stuck in that endless loop cycle. Why me? Why can't I ever get this right? Why does this happen to me? Now, the idea, though, is if we use our push energy just to get the roller rolling, okay, and then we come across a barrier, an obstacle, and we have, we recognize that sometimes our own thinking is limited and we're using fish strategies to knock the nail in, that we reach out to someone who can help us with this, and they point out and say, well, have you thought about this, or what about this way, or what about that way? Now, whether it's in a book, or whether it's a person, or whether it's a TV show that you watch where you get the insight, you turn on your creative power, you move into what we call fulfillment, which is where you achieve your goal. Okay, it's very hard, though, to achieve your goal coming from the place where you are coming from. Because either you're going to reach burnout because you've been pushing, or you're just going to hit all these obstacles where it's just going to make you burn out. It's not about pushing all the time, because when you're pushing all the time, that means you are trying to row your boat upstream against the flow. It's much easier to go with the flow. And in fact, life is a flow. Yes, there are sandbanks, there are rocks on the river on the way down, or to, and when I say down, I'm saying to where you want to go. But, and sure, there are times, sometimes you have to traverse the river, sometimes you have to go a little bit back before you can go forward. But again, these are where times you need someone in your corner to point you somewhere, to give you some clue to say, okay, how do I do things differently? Now, the challenge that we have is that we have the creativity to actually overcome obstacles. We have the creativity to allow ourselves just to sit in the boat on the sandbank and wait until the tide comes and wash us off, as long as we have the patience to do that. So we need either patience or creativity, a bit of faith, whatever it is, right? And so here it is. How do we become creative? You know, Einstein said you can't solve a problem from the same thinking that created the problem in the first place. So what's he saying? What's he saying, and I've come to this realization of late, what he's saying is that our thinking, our current thinking, is what our current thinking is. Now, whether that current thinking is coming from a place of abundance, or if it's coming from a place of lack, if it's coming from a place of limitation, or if it's coming from a place of just, everything is open. The point is, wherever your thinking is coming from is how you're trying to solve the problem. Well, if you're coming from a place of victim, you're only going to create more victim. In other words, your strategies are going to be, how do I get out of my victimness? But it's hard to come out of your victimness because you're in victim. So like I said, it's hard to see your way out of a box, and because you can't even see the label. You're stuck inside the box. You know there's a label outside the box, but you can't see it because you're in the box. That's your current thinking. So we have to figure out what within our current thinking is limiting us. And there are strategies we can use to help us to actually get out of the box, so we can see, oh, wow, okay, now I can see a clear way forward. And in order to do this, there are times where you actually need to have a coach, or you need to have gone through a course, or you need to have read a book. And actually not just read the book, but implemented the strategies that helped you to actually get out of the box. And once you do that, once you can see a way through, this is when you now start to feel like life is in flow, and now you're flowing down the river and you're not trying to push up the river, and you can now move into the fourth quadrant, which is fulfillment, which is where you can make things happen. Okay, so that said, I actually want to give you a tactic, a strategy that can really, really help you to figure out where you are currently sitting in relation to your current thinking. So in an earlier post that I posted on LinkedIn, and one that I mentioned earlier, I said that Einstein said we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. Now, the famous American psychologist, Dr. Albert Ellis, is credited with coining the phrase stinking thinking. And he basically used this phrase stinking thinking to describe the human tendency to persistently engage with thoughts that don't serve us. These are our endless loop questions thoughts, our catastrophizing thoughts, whatever thoughts we're using that are keeping us locked and stuck where we are. Okay. Well, what I did was I reconfigured a tool from William Whitecloud, a tool that I've called Acera. And it's capital A, capital S, capital E, capital R, capital A. And it's a 5-question tool that I use. And by the way, I use the acronym Acera because it's based on the Hawaiian meaning of the name Acera, which means lucky. And when you apply the 5 questions that I'm about to give you to whatever dilemma you're in or whatever issue that you're facing right now in your life, you can actually watch and how quickly your luck trajectory will change because you are now thinking differently. So if you want to start solving your problems, if you want to really overcome where you are stuck, then you need to access the part of you that is creative, that is adaptable, that is capable of thinking outside the box. Because like I said, you can't read the label of the box when you're stuck inside of it. And the 5 questions, the 5 Acera questions that I'm going to give you will help to elevate your thinking and take you outside of your current, what I call illusionary box, right? Because it's just, you've made it up. So that you can clearly read the label from the place or from the space and make new choices that will help to get you unstuck. Choices that you can never make from inside your current perceptual framework because you can't see what you can't see. They're in your blind spot, if you like. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, where is my current thinking coming from? Okay, because remember, like I said, if your thinking is coming from a victim mindset rather than an empowered mindset, well, that's going to frame your response, your answer. Are your choices that you're making based on survival because you're running away from something? You know, it's not what I want, it's what I'm choosing I don't want. So it's not, I don't want, I want abundance, okay, but I'm choosing really, I don't want to be poor. Where's your choice coming from? Is it running away from something or are you headed towards something? Okay. Because when you create from a place of neediness, I need it. I need to be healthy. Okay. All you can create is more neediness. I need a relationship in my life. And now you show up on a date and you're needy and that chases everybody away. But when you're coming from a mindset of abundance as opposed to a mindset of lack, well, rather than create more lack, you can create more abundance in your life. So the first thing is you've got to figure out where we're at. And so this is where Acera comes in. So the idea here is I want you to grab your journal or piece of paper. Ideally, you have a journal, something where you can write and reflect on. And in the journal, I want you to answer these four questions. I'm going to give you some examples as we go. So the first question is awareness. That's the A, awareness. And the question is, what emotional charge do I have on this issue? So what am I feeling? Now, please don't go into intellectualizing and, you know, just stick to some core emotions here. I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling depressed, whatever it is you're feeling, but, you know, don't intellectualize the feeling. You know, just get to the core emotion. The more core you get to, what's this feeling that you're feeling? So, like, stuck really a feeling? Stuck is a conceptual way of trying to describe what it is you're really feeling. What's under the stuckness? Under the stuckness is maybe a fear. How am I ever going to get out of this? I'm scared. I don't want to move forward. So try and access that feeling, right? That's awareness. And so the example that I use for myself when I was doing this exercise, one of the first examples I used, I'm angry and frustrated that this issue is still continuing. Okay, I'm frustrated with myself. I'm angry. Now, even frustration is still somewhat of an intellectual compensation as opposed to angry. Angry is a feeling, right? You know when you're angry. Now, step two is state your feeling. That's the S. State your feeling. What am I feeling? What's the base feeling here? Okay. So the example that I'm using, fear, uncertainty, and insecurity. Okay, so I'm feeling fear. There's a state of insecurity. Okay, I'm on wobbly ground. I'm scared. Okay, now we're talking fear. Okay, and note the state of, as I said, note the state of feeling, not the emotion, which is cognitive. And probably the best way to do this, go to your heart for the answer. Your heart knows what you're feeling. It's not a head thing, it's a heart thing. Man, I am scared. I'm scared that if I don't find a mate, I don't find a partner, I'm going to be lonely for the rest of my life. I'm scared that if I don't find my way out of this health issue that I'm in, I'm going to be crippled for the rest of my life. You know, talking about crippled, we had a contractor who was coming to fix a fence. And it's interesting the language people use. But he couldn't come for a few days to start the job because, as he said, he was crippled with gout. Can you imagine telling yourself, I'm crippled with gout? What else can you be but crippled? Where else can you, it's not like you can get out of bed because you're crippled. So we have to watch our language, which is just on a tangent there. But really, what's really crippling, what's behind the crippled feeling? What is that? That's what you want to try and get to. State the feeling. And step number three, you want to expose your behaviors. So this is the E in the Sarah. Okay, expose your behaviors, your reaction. How do I typically react to feeling this way? So in the example, I lash out at my coworkers or my spouse. I get moody. I see the world through negative lenses. I get reactive where I just have to get things done at all costs. I just got to push through. It doesn't matter what I do. I just got to force myself to do what I've got to do, right? So, and now we're moving into this whole push energy piece. Now we're moving into where we're about potentially could burn out, right? So we want to expose what are the behaviors, because our behaviors are a reflection of our thinking and our emotions, because, you know, what we think translates into what we feel, and what we feel translates into what we do. So the quickest way and the easiest way to understand how we actually are thinking is to look at how we are reacting. What are our behaviors telling us? Step number four, the fourth question is the R in Nocera, which is to raise your thinking. What's an elevated way to look at this issue? And this is where people find it challenging. Because remember, if you're looking at abundance, wanting to create abundance, but you're coming from the place of lack, well, it's kind of hard to go there. So you have to kind of elevate your thinking. So it's almost like you have to kind of hover your thinking above where you're at. So you look down upon where you're at. Imagine there you are on a seat, writing in your journal, and you want to imagine that you are outside your body looking down, and now you can see a much bigger picture. So the example I always use, imagine the tallest building in your city. Imagine you go to that building and you're on the ground floor and you're looking around and you're looking around. What can you see? You can see people milling about. You can see shops. You can see cars. You can see a whole bunch of things from the ground floor, right? You look up and you can see tall buildings and et cetera, et cetera. But now what happens is you get in the lift and you go all the way to the top of the building and you go onto the roof and you're looking from the roof or from the highest point of that building. Now what can you see? Well, now you can see the whole city. You can see the mountains. You might even be able to see the ocean. You can see so much more from an elevated viewpoint. And this is what I'm saying. You want to try and elevate yourself to see what you're not seeing from the ground floor. You're now on the 22nd floor. How much more can you see? So an example of this, again, I see that this is happening for me, not to me. And that's a whole nother training to understand the differences. For me, life is happening for me, not to me. So I see this as just another life lesson that I've yet to master. I see the need to treat myself with love and compassion. I look back at times in my life where no matter how bad it ever got, I've been able to find my way through and turn it around. I can see that I need to step out and go and connect to nature. I need to go for a walk by the ocean. And rather than just push for the answer, I just need to allow the answer to come to me with an absolute knowing that it will, because it always has come, and when the timing is right, the answer will be there, and no amount of pushing is actually going to bring the answer. I just need the patience and the faith to know that it will come. And it's interesting, I've been studying the story of the walls of Jericho, and one of the people that I was listening to said, you know, there are a couple of lessons that are things we need to understand here that are vital to understanding how the walls came down. And besides the fact that they're now scientifically proven reasons why, you know, the trumpets blew at a certain pitch and that pitch breaks things down, all these scientific reasons why. If you just look at what the story said to do, right, they walked around the city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they walked around seven times, and on the seventh time they made this huge noise. Okay, but think of the patience that it took, and they had to do this in silence, right? So if you think about the patience that it took and the faith that it took, okay, we're walking around, okay, these are soldiers that are walking around, right? They just want to climb in and lay siege and just go to war. But they had to have faith enough to just stay with the plan. And the plan was, hey, we're going to walk around with the Ark of the Covenant and our priests blowing trumpets, and the walls are going to come down. Well, think, really? Does that even make any sense? Now, fair enough, you know, these people had been exposed to miracles along the way. But it's, again, like us, it's not like we haven't had our own personal miracles. We have had a number of miracles. I mean, the first miracle you ever had was how you showed up. I mean, you won that race, didn't you? You swam against billions, and yet you were the one that got to the egg, and the egg received you, and here you are. So you are a miracle before you even start. So we know miracles happen. It's just we just don't look at them as such. But it takes a certain amount of patience and faith to say, you know what? The answer will come to me, but I can't push for this answer. Because if I push for the answer, where is the thinking coming from? It's coming from push energy. It's coming from lack. It's coming from limitation. Whereas if I just go into allow, I'm going to allow the tide to come in and float me off the sandbank. This is where you're coming from. This is where the answer lies. And then finally, step number 5 in the Asera model is act. What can I do now to act with empowerment on my truth? So when the answer does come, and the answer might seem way out there, like, whoa, really? You kidding me? You want me to do that? Well, that's the answer. Now, and that's the truth. So if the answer says, right now, stop and go for a walk on the beach. Stop and go for a walk on the beach. If the answer comes to you and says, well, go home early and take the family out for dinner, then do that. Even though every bone in your body is fighting against it because you're so used to pushing, and, you know, but I've got deadlines and what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to do it? Okay, remember, what you think it is, it is. But what you, the capital you, the huge you, the creative you, not the limited you, what you think and what that person thinks, that creative thinking, what that creates, it is. So that's the model. Asera. Have the awareness. What charge is coming up for you? State that feeling. Really get in and state that feeling. What am I feeling? Okay. And then what are the behaviors that are coming? What am I doing as a result of that feeling? And go to the 22nd floor and elevate your thinking and look at this thing differently. If the answer doesn't come, that's fine. Then change your state. Go and do something completely different. Forget about what it is you're doing. Allow the answer to come to you. It's interesting when you study some of the greatest scientists of our time. You know, our friend who invented the light bulb, Edison, right? His process was he would sit in a dark room and he would contemplate and contemplate and contemplate, and then you'd go to have a 20-minute nap, and he'd wake up, and the answer would come to him. Now, he had trained his brain that that's how the answers would come to him. Okay, we know that Winston Churchill, even in the height of war, would take a break and go and have a nap. Okay, and that's when the answers came to him. And so, when you're just pushing against, that's not how you get things done. That's not how you get things done. You have to just press pause. It's not going away. You get out of the box and just allow the answer to come to you, and it will. But then when it comes to you, now you have to act on that. Because if you don't act on that, what are you teaching yourself? What is your subconscious mind? What's the lesson that you're getting as a result? So it's really important that you act on that.